Good morning, everyone. I send greetings from Sovereign Grace Chapel, and we are located close to Beckley, if anyone knows where Beckley, West Virginia is, but we are located close to there. But Walter Pendleton, who happens to be my brother, is my pastor. He has been my pastor for about 37 years or so. And I'm thankful that, you know, there's three of us that preach every Sunday there, and I'm thankful that, you know, that Walter and Joe allow me the time to stand up and proclaim my Lord's name. So it's a privilege. I don't deserve to be up here, so let me go ahead and get started. If you would, turn with me to Romans 8. Romans 8, very familiar passage to everyone, I'm sure. Romans 8, and I want to begin in 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And here's where I want to concentrate on. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And I'm going to stop right there for right now. I want to give a little bit of context leading up to this verse, which we just read some of it. But those who at one time had the spirit of bondage to fear, but they've been now given the spirit of adoption whereby they can cry, Abba, Father, or Papa. Those are heirs with Christ, children of God, it says. But we also read, these are those who don't know how to pray. They don't even know what to pray for as they ought. We don't know what's best for us, and we must trust God for that which He knows is the best for us. The Spirit makes groanings for us which cannot be uttered. But it also says here that we are saved by hope. And hope that is seen is not hope. If you already have something, there's no reason to hope for it. We hope for the redemption of this body. It will come because we have a good hope. That good hope is because God has promised it. And the faith of Jesus Christ carried it out and made it so. But also the Spirit knoweth our infirmities. Why? This is the Spirit of Christ. He has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then we come to verse 28, where we read that we know something. The Young's Literal Translation says it this way, and we have known. And then it says, all things, and that's my title, all things. That is things in the past, all things present and all things in the future. Maybe another way to say it might be a little bit better, but things before the foundation of the world, things present, including the creation of Adam up until now, and those things that will be when Christ returns. All things. And that's what I want to look at this morning as it concerns all things. Those things purposed in Christ from before the foundation of the world, those same things purposed being carried out in time or from the creation to now, and those things purposed which will be consummated one day. But I want to point out here, and this is nothing new, others have said this, and I'm just repeating what others have said. When we look at this closely, it does not say all good things. I think it's quite obvious that all good things work together for good. This simply says all things. This word used here simply means all or the whole. The whole works together for good. It works this way for a certain people, here shown as them that love God. Who are they? Them that are called, and this all according to His purpose, those who now cry Abba or Papa. So let's take this verse, and this verse will be my outline, verse 28. And I'm going to go into it in the reverse, if you will. So I have the following points. His purpose, working together for good, and all things. His purpose, number one. First of all things were created by Him, but also for Him. He is what holds it all together, is what it says in Colossians 1. His purpose includes all things because the verse here starts out that way. But what specifically do we know from Scripture? What do we know is the purpose of God? Turn with me to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. And you might as well keep your finger there in Romans and in Ephesians. I'm going to kind of go back and forth there. Ephesians 1, I'm going to read verse 6 for now. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Here my point is that all things that take place and the end result of all things is the purpose of God, and that purpose is to the praise of the glory of His grace. That is the purpose and will of God, that He might be praised. In the face of Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth, that's where we praise God. So based on this purpose, what does it also say here about His purpose toward those who are made accepted in the Beloved? Verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It is the will of the Father that in Christ we were predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, is what we see in our text. And those are those who have received the Spirit of adoption. As it has been said before, by Christ is how we get to God. It is by Christ that we will ever stand before Him. Christ is the only one that could do this. He was the only one that could touch man and touch God and bring them all together in Himself. Just as it says here in Ephesians, by Jesus Christ to Himself. He is that which takes away the great gulf between God and man. Another familiar passage in Romans 9, verses 11, we read of the purpose of God. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. The purpose of God according to election. What is his purpose? His purpose is that being chosen by God in Christ had nothing to do with works of the flesh, but only of him that calleth. We have no reason to think God chose us based on what we would do or what we have done, because God tells us it is not based on what we did, good or evil. It goes on to say the following in Romans 9, and hold your place in Ephesians there and turn with me to Romans 9. Romans 9. Romans 9 and verse 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I like to point this out. We hear a lot of folks in our day that talk about man having a free will. It's a lie. What does God tell us right here? That even if you do will, it's not up to your will. Even if you do work, it's not up to your work. It's purely and solely based on the will of God, whether you are in Christ or not. He is the one that calleth. Those who can hear what this is saying cry out just as the leper did, "If thou wilt, thou can make me clean." It has nothing to do with what I want, but everything to do with what he wants. We are left to plead his mercy on us. We have another witness to this. 2 Timothy 1:9 reads, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." We are not in control in any way, shape, or form. We do one thing well. We sin against the Holy God. But God's purpose, and by that I mean his total, absolute control, does not just include those who are chosen in Christ and who would be placed in Christ. God is in absolute, total control of all things. That's like saying water's wet three times, as Scott Richardson would say. His purpose also includes those who will never bow to him. Romans 9:17 we read, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I may show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." No matter who it is, the purpose of God includes all men. But for those whom he loves, what is his purpose? Back to Ephesians 1, if you're following along, 9 through 11. "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." So God's eternal purpose is what drives things. It does not matter what I think about them or what I feel about them. It's all according to his will, and it's all being carried out by his will. One more thing that is said to be his purpose. 1 John 3:8 we read, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." God's purpose is to destroy sin. Satan is said to be the father of lies. Free will is a lie. So who does this all work together for? Number two, work together for good. So then his purpose is said to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, is what it says. What is it that is purposed of God for those whom he calls, which love him? Back in Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice that all these things are in the past tense. This is done according to what God Almighty Himself tells us here. Most of the time, I don't feel this is so for me. But God said it, so it's true. I know some like to say, God said it and I believe it, so it's true. But that's not right. It's only true if God says it. And it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not. But I thank God it's not based on my feelings. It is based on what he said and what he tells me. That all those whom he has chosen in Christ and called by his grace, that this will be true for all of them. There was a time when we were born into this world. The scripture says we were born the children of wrath, even as others. We had wrath just like everyone else did. And we are told in Romans 5, verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So these called are those who are said to have been ungodly. In this flesh we are still ungodly. I have nothing to boast in of what I am, as I'm born in Adam. There is nothing for me to boast in. I was and am ungodly in this flesh. But this is not all it says. Verse 10 of Romans 5 says, all of these were enemies of God. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. This for if at the beginning of this verse is not an if of it might be and it might not be. But the if is an if of comparison. Those who were enemies, the ones spoken of here, were reconciled by the death of his Son. The comparison is to the salvation he has also wrought by his life. Us, having been reconciled by his death because he rose from the dead, we are saved by that life. My point here is the ones that were in the mind and purpose of God are those who hated God at one time. Most of this world, and even myself at one time, would have told you, I don't hate God. But because they, or because I, would not bow down to his Son, I would not believe his Son as reconciling me to God, I was hating God. There is no in between. You either love God or you hate God. If you love him, it's only because he loved you first. God did not and does not love everyone, and Christ did not die for everyone. But even his people behaved toward him just as those to whom he did not die for. And that's my point. But then, what is said to work together for good to these? All things, number three. All things. Those things purposed in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8 we read, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All will worship Christ one day. Some do now, but all will one day. God's purpose was to exalt himself in the saving of a people for his name. It was purposed from the beginning that it would be God himself that would obtain this salvation by his death on that tree. Ephesians 1:4, we read, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How would it be that we would be without blame before Him in love? He would purge our sins by His death. God and His purposed this all to take place. Him dying on that tree was the crux for everything. It would all be to this purpose and end, and the result would be a saving of a people for His name. This all being to His honor and glory, because He does it all from start to finish. If He does not do all the work and He leaves anything up to man to do by his own power or will, then man has something to boast in. We are taught in Scripture that we have no confidence in this flesh, and that all boasting goes to Him who hath delivered us from sin. We have nothing to add. The us in Ephesians 1, according as He hath chosen us, but the us being His chosen people, the election of grace, as the Scripture puts it, and it's the same as we read in Romans 8:28. But grace and works do not mix. Those same things purpose being carried out in time or from creation to now. This is one of those things that I want to point out. But this does not say all good things. It simply says all things. Now we have several accounts in Scripture that give us an idea of the magnitude of this statement that we are given here in Romans 8 of our text. But let's just look at a few. First, let's think about this. We read in Genesis that Joseph was hated by his brothers. They were going to kill him, but he was put in a pit instead. And then later they decided to sell him to the Ishmaelites. This was the purpose of God. Not only this, but he was then sold to Potiphar. This was the purpose of God. Then Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph, accusing him of things he did not do. The end result of this was Joseph being thrown in prison. This was the purpose of God. But the butler and the baker of Pharaoh were put in prison and had dreams that Joseph interpreted. He asked them to remember him when they were let out of prison. The baker was killed after he got out, and the butler forgot about Joseph for 2 more years. This was the purpose of God. Then he was made second in charge of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. He was about 18 years old when all of this stuff started happening, and now he's 30 years old. This was the purpose of God. Then we read in Genesis 50:20, and this is after he is reconciled with his brothers, and they know who he is. And they are afraid of what Joseph might do to them because of what they have done. He says to them in Genesis 50:20, we read, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." It does not say that they meant it for evil and God turned it to good. It says they meant it for evil, and God meant it for good. Joseph here tells his brothers that they meant what they did to him for evil. And it was evil. But it also says God meant it for good, and it was good. Again, it does not say God changed it for good. It was good because God meant it for good, and it was evil for them to do this because it was evil. God is wiser than men. Men may think they are thwarting God and what He is doing, but God will have His way no matter what. He used this to do what we are told in the Scripture. It says, to save much people alive. Both are true at the same time. Our deeds as fallen sinful men to do things which are evil against our fellow man, but more importantly, against the merciful God who created us. The Scripture says that even the wrath of man will praise Him. Is this not what he told Pharaoh? For this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in you, and my name shall be declared throughout all the earth. God is in absolute sovereign control. What was done to Joseph is a picture of what was done to our Lord. All things do not work together for good to those not chosen in Christ. All things work together for good to His chosen and called out people. It is all because of one more thing, and that's what I want to show next. Turn with me to Acts 2. Acts 2. Acts 2 and 20, verse 23. Acts 2 and verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What they did was evil in murdering the Lord of glory. This all being done based on the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But it was the purpose of God to do this, because it was the only hope for His people. Verse 24 of Acts 2 says, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it." Our merciful Savior was evil and treated by man, of which my flesh was just like this. I did this when God brought His glorious gospel to me before He had opened my eyes. I cried out, "I will not have a God like this. This is not fair," is what I thought. I thank God He did not lead me there. God intends everything that happens to me as a child of God for my eternal good. And all things, everything that happens, whether we can see it or not, or whether we feel it or not, is for our good. This is all because He purposed it to be so. But let's put some shoe leather on it, as some put it. But turn with me to Acts 16. Acts 16. This account just really amazes me when I think about it as it pertains to this subject of all things work together for good. But Acts 16, verses 17 through 23. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." So Paul and Silas are there, and this little girl is following them around, and Paul gets vexed with it, and he commands the Spirit to come out of her. Well, this was these men's gain. It's how they made money, with her divination, as it calls. So they were taken to these magistrates, and they were beaten. And I'm assuming it was with whips, because it says that they laid many stripes on them. But they could have also been beaten with their fists as well. But keep in mind here, we are talking about all things working together for good. This is for good, what's happening here. I want you to understand me here. All things work together for good. It does not say that all things are good, just that they work together for good. Men intend evil. God intends good for His people. But we can see in this passage, so let's go on, and that they were beaten and they were put in prison and were put in stocks. They were chained up and placed in a cell, which they could not get out of on their own. All this is for their good. That is, the good of His people. But not only for their good, that is Paul and Silas's, but it's also for the good of others to whom God manifests Himself to. Paul and Silas did not complain. And I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. I'm sure Paul and Silas were not happy to receive stripes and be placed in prison. It was not an enjoyable time for them to have all this done to them. There was no happiness in this, I'm sure, but there was joy. I can have joy even when I am as grieved as I possibly can be. But my hope is in God, in Jesus Christ. So what did Paul and Silas do? Acts 16:25 we read, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." They had joy in the Lord and prayed and sang praises to God. They even in the midst of evil entreatings because of the name of Christ were still enabled by God to sing praises to Him. For what purpose was all this as we are revealed here? God was about to rock someone's world. He was going to shake the very foundation of one of His own so that that one would see imminent death before Him. This forced Him, and if God ever meets you and deals with you, it will force you to Him. And there's no other place to go other than down, down, down. This forced Him. What does He cry out, this Philippian jailer, in verses 30? "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" All things work together for good. Yes, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. My point in this is for us to think about what God might be doing for one of His as He is with us in these sufferings because of Christ. These things will be consummated one day. 1 John 3:2 we read, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." There will be a day when we will be with Him. He is and ever shall be our light and our life. He has purpose to carry it all out so that we will all be with Him and in Him. It is that hope of the believer to lay down this flesh and be with Christ. What did we read previously in Ephesians 1:10? "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ." The whole purpose is to gather all things that pertain to the purpose and will of God in Christ, and all being one in Christ. We will one day rejoice and give praise to God for all things He has done. Revelations 5, 8-10 we read, "And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Knowing these things, we should be comforted. So now we've went over some things in Scripture where we can see God has purposed all things to honor the Son. He is in absolute control of all things. Therefore, because of this, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. So what is concluded by the Apostle Paul from these things? So back to our text in Romans 8. And keep in mind, verse 28 says, "And we know." The "we" there are those who love God, and those who love God are described as those called by God according to His purpose. Those He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. He called them, He justified them, and He glorified them. Romans 8:31, we go on and read. 8:31, we read, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" There is a clear answer from Scripture. There is no one but Him who controls all things. God, in doing all this, is not doing this to be mean to us. Because what did it take in order to make all things work together for good? Romans 8:32. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" He did not spare His own Son. Jesus Christ met with the wrath of God in my stead and appeased that wrath. The waters of His judgment have abated. In wrath, we find mercy. So it goes on further, verses 33 and 34. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." God justifies those who are ungodly and enemies against Him. Those whom He chose in His Son being faithful to do the will of the Father. The "we" spoken of in verse 28 are people who were enemies against Him. They are an ungodly people, but they are a saved people. So Paul concludes even further through 35 through 39 we read, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." No matter what we see going on around us, it is God who is in control of all of it. Men who know not God, and even we in this flesh, do things that are evil. This is what it all boils down to, though. This is where the "but God" comes in. "But God sent forth His Son to be the propitiation for His people's sins. He works everything for the good of His people. Men mean it for evil, but God means it for good. Not the good of all mankind, but a specific people. Those who have been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Those who have had their sins purged by His death on that cross. Those who are made righteous in Him because He was made sin for them. Because He controls all things, then I know it will be for my good and for all those in Christ. We know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So what do? We praise His name in all things, because it is for our good. Amen." Dear Lord God, thank You for allowing us to meet here today, dear Lord, and even with Your servant's stumbling, stammering lips, dear Lord, may we in some way give praise to your name, dear Lord. Apply these words to our hearts as we go forth from here, dear Lord. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you all very much for having me. Me and Paula have enjoyed it immensely, and the everything was in order and very fine. So thank you very much.